Right, first things first, while it's in my mind, if anybody has to come up to give some notices or readings or anything, please come around here because we have a short wire in front of the table and we don't want any accidents. Okay, so come around here. Thank you. Right, let me start by welcoming and thanking Professor Sir Les Ebden for taking our service this morning at such short notice. It is much appreciated. Thank you. COVID. As I said last week, the usual measures remain in place, that is sanitising, careful hygiene, social distancing. Mask wearing is at your own discretion, as we said, although we would ask that you kindly be particularly mindful of those around you if you do not wear a mask. And please not try to gather in too many groups after the service. The members' meeting on Wednesday, the 9th of March, will include our first AGM as a charitable incorporated organisation. So there is a requirement there that all trustees shall retire and a process of reappointment undertaken to appoint them for a 1, 2, or 3 year term. The Treasurer and Secretary will be nominated and seconded at that time. The voting process is in the newsletter, but you will be reminded of all this before the meeting. Next Sunday concludes the preaching on the series of Joseph, after which there will be an opportunity to share anything you feel you have learned from the story of Joseph or from anything God has been saying or doing since the new year. Our Minister Colin returns from compassionate leave tomorrow. We would like to wish Margaret Dowling a very happy birthday. Today, I believe, Margaret, is that right? So very happy birthday for today. There will be refreshments after the service, so you might want to raise a glass to our Queen, who, as you know, ascended the throne 70 years ago today. Over to you, Les.
Well, thank you very much indeed, and it's always a pleasure to be here again with you and to share time with you. I thought we'd look at one of the great sayings of Jesus. Jesus says in John's Gospel, he says, "I am the door. I am the door." So I've got some pictures of some doors here and if we can project those up, then have a look at these doors and see if you recognize any of these doors. There we are. There's a door you've seen quite a lot lately, haven't you? Anyone recognize it? Number 10 Downing Street. Yes, it's... It's an interesting door. It opens up to quite a big hallway, as I recall, and that is, who lives there? Prime Minister. Good, clever answer that, because it might change, you never know, but and you would walk in there and you would expect to meet powerful people. Actually, one of the first things you meet is a cat, you meet some powerful people who are running the country, that's number 10 Downing Street. Here's another one that you might recognize. Buckingham Palace, and who lives there? Majesty of the Queen. Of course, actually today she's at Sandringham because she goes somewhere quiet on her anniversary of her accession, because to the Queen, it is the anniversary of her father's death, and she always spends that quietly, which is why we don't celebrate, one of the reasons we don't celebrate the Platinum Jubilee today. We will celebrate it in June. The other reason is the weather is usually a lot better in June than it is in February. But yes, there's Buckingham Palace, I got a letter from Buckingham Palace this week, which was very nice, excited the family. I knew that it would be an invitation that wasn't to Buckingham Palace, because Buckingham Palace is having a lot of work done at the moment, and the reception I was invited to will take place at St James's Palace this year. But normally you go and you don't actually go in ever through that gate, or I don't. You see cars drive out of there, but there are side gates in which you go, and then you go under that archway, it's quite a way before you get to the actual door, and you wonder whether you should walk across the gravel and get your shoes all dirty before you go into the palace, or you walk around the side before you go into the palace. But yes, that's Buckingham Palace. The Queen lives there, and she is our head of state, she's been doing that job now for 70 years today, hasn't she? Now, there's another door, one that I visited this week because we had the grandchildren to stay. Anyone recognize that? Whipson A. Zoo. That gives a bit of a clue, doesn't it, here? But yes, that's Whipsonade Zoo, what would you expect to see if you went through that gate? Lots of animals. You see those lemurs when you first go in, don't you? And then a whole host but no lions at the moment. I don't know whether you knew that the lions aren't there anymore. But the tiger was on good form for the grandchildren. The tigers were. Anyway, so when you go through that door, you expect to see lots of animals. And doors are the way in to things, aren't they? They're the way in to power. They're the way into duty. And they're the way into fun and education. Doors can open for us to new friends and new relationships. We often talk about doors opening, don't we, to new opportunities in life. We say, a door opened, and I was able to so-and-so and so-and-so. New opportunities. I've got some doors here. We're a bit of a crowded stage here, aren't we, these days? So I hope you can see there's a couple of doors here. I carefully selected doors without handles because that will remind some of you of a famous picture by somebody called Holman Hunt, where there was no handles on the outside of the door, and Jesus is knocking on the door of our heart, and the handles on the inside. We have to open the door. And 10 Downing Street's like that, actually. There isn't a handle on the outside. But I can tell you, somebody always opens it, and they can see you coming. There we are. Should we have a look to see what's behind these doors? I'm glad you said that. So, if I open one door, and I open another door, it's that saying of Jesus from John's chapter. Jesus says, I am the door. The person who enters through me will be saved. That's the version in the International Children's Bible. And I think we've got that up on the screen because we would like to everybody to be able to see that. Very big. That's great. Jesus says, I am the door. The person who enters through me will be saved. It's in John chapter 10 and verse 9. How good are we at reading? We can do this? Ready? I am the door. The person who enters through me will be saved. That's what Jesus says. I am the door. Some of the versions of the Bible say, I'm the gate, because it talks about the gate to the sheepfold. In fact, the Greek word can be equally translated gate or door. When our grandson, Joel, who's nearly three, when he was just turned two, I remember we took him out in his buggy for a walk in the lanes near us, and every time we passed the gate, he said, door. And so we said, no, it's a gate because it's into a field. And by the time we coming back, he was saying gate. And we were very impressed at how quick he was at learning. But if it had been in ancient Greece, it would have been all right because it's the same word for gate or door. Some versions say gate. I'm saying door because I had these doors. It's easier to remember. We do talk about doors opening to things, don't we? And Jesus said, I am the door. The way into a new friendship. The way in to being with God. The way in to being with Jesus. Jesus is the way in, the door to his church, to his love and his care. And it's very important that we remember this verse. I think we've got this verse again in a different way. So how are we doing? Can we still fill this one in? I am the door. The person who enters through me will be saved. Now, if we had an hour or so, I'd block out every word one by one, and you'd really know it then, wouldn't you? But I am the door. The person who enters through me will be saved. Hey, a little memory verse when I was a boy growing up in Hemel, we had the scripture exam, and we always had a memory verse, and it's amazing how useful they are later in life. Well, let's hear the full story of when Jesus said he was the door as our reading from John 10 is brought to us this morning.
Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listens to his voice. He calls his sheep, his own sheep by name, and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will not run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much indeed for that a reading from John chapter 10 there. We're going to sing a popular children's hymn by Bishop Howe that reminds us of how Jesus came to lay down his life for us. It is a thing most wonderful. Well, we need to look at what Jesus meant when he said he was the door. It's a bit of a funny thing to say about yourself, isn't it, that you are a door. I don't expect many of you have called yourself a door, yeah? But Jesus says, I am the door. We can see in this story that was read for us that Jesus knew exactly how shepherds worked in those days. A bit different to the way they work with us. They didn't use dogs and jeeps and things to keep their flock in order. They actually walked ahead of the flock, and the sheep followed the shepherd. And some of you may have seen that still a practice in some Middle Eastern countries today. And the sheep know their shepherd through the shepherd's voice. And we know Jesus through his voice, which we find in the Bible, don't we? And the sheep follow the shepherd because they know his voice. There's a lovely story is told about a traveler in the Middle East who found himself caught in a sudden storm, thunderstorm. And so he found this large cave and he took refuge in the cave. And he hadn't been in there very long when a shepherd came in with a flock of sheep. And he had to go right to the back of the cave. The rain carried on coming down. It wasn't long before another shepherd came in with another flock of sheep. And he was pushed right to the back of the cave. And he stood there wondering, how is it when this is over and the shepherds take their flocks out, they're all mixed up. None of them got any of those little colorful markings on. How are they going to know which sheep belongs to them, which is in which flock? He didn't have to worry too much because when the rain stopped, one shepherd walked out and called his sheep, and his sheep followed him, and the other shepherd walked out the other way, called out, and his sheep followed him because they knew the voice of their shepherd. And Jesus says that his sheep know his voice. We know the voice of Jesus, and we find it in the Bible, don't we? But Jesus says more than that. He says, I am the door. He is the gate in the sheep fold. I wonder if we can make a sheepfold here. In Bible times, the sheepfold would have been a circular thing. Now, it's going to be a bit difficult to make a circular thing here, but we'll try our best. I forgot to give my risk assessment in, but here we are. So here's a sheepfold. Now, all I need is a volunteer shepherd. I have suitable clothing for a volunteer shepherd. Raphael, this does involve some exertion. Hold the bag. Oh, that's my water. Let's put that there. Right. Now, see if this fits you. Have you ever been a shepherd before?
No.
Not even at Christmas? You're always an angel, are you?
Yep.
Here we go.
Raphael.
Right, yes, yeah. Okay. Now, Raphael, this is genuine article. This just helps the headdress stay on a bit better. This is not a tea towel, this is the real thing. Let's see if we can. How are you feeling?
Like a shepherd.
Oh, your size. Brilliant. There we are. One shepherd. Now, what's he lacking? Just happen to have one here, Raphael, as a sheep for you. Actually, it's a bit small for people to see at the back. So I've got one that's special breed of sheep that is bred to look like a teddy bear upside down, but there we are. So you come out the sheep pen, and we'll put the sheep in. There we go. Right. Now for the difficult bit, Raphael. How are we going to close the sheep pen to protect the sheep?
Close the gate.
How are we going to close the gate? Yes. Well, I'll tell you how they did it in biblical times. Right. And you can see whether you want to follow the biblical example or not. The shepherd would lie across the opening.
Right.
So are you up for that?
To lie.
Yeah, the shepherd... Yeah. Would lie across it. So the sheepfold would be a series of stones in a circular shape,
right,
with a hole in it, a gap in it.
Right.
And the sheep would go in through the gap, but there wasn't a door,
right,
or a gate. The shepherd would lie across the gap.
I see.
So do you feel up for that?
Well, I mean, if you want me to lie, I lie.
Well, look, we could take a vote on this. I think it would be it would illustrate the point for me very well if you would. But I'd lie down myself, and people are thinking I have a difficulty lying down. I don't have any difficulty lying down. It's getting up. Yeah. I'm not the only one. But do you feel confident about getting up? Well, go ahead. Excellent. Well done, Raphael. I think a round of applause for that. So that is how the shepherd protected the sheep. Raphael, I've got a little thank you for you for being so so good. Stay here and share with me so that people can see what a real shepherd looks like. How the shepherd would literally lay down his life. So if a robber or a thief came, they wouldn't be able to get through the sheepfold here. They'd go to the gate, and there would be the shepherd. And only by taking the life of the shepherd would they get in. And the sheep would know too that unless somebody came in through the door, that they were a thief or a robber, because the shepherd always came in through the door. So they would be anxious and worried if anybody came in any other way. And Jesus knew all these things because that was the way that shepherds worked in his time. And he was saying, it's just like a shepherd. I'm the door. I'm the way into the sheepfold. I'm the way into the church. I'm the way into the love of God. I'm the way into heaven. Nobody can get in except through me. I've got to let you in, because any other way in is wrong. It's only a thief and a robber would come in that way. That's the way into the sheepfold. Is through me, is through Jesus. And that's very important, because sometimes these days people say, well, there are lots of ways to heaven. There's lots of ways to find God. Well, there aren't. I'm sorry, there aren't. And actually, we find that quite upsetting as Christians, because we're saying that God gave his only son to die in a horrible way on a cross, because that was the only way that you can get to know God, the only way you can get to heaven. And we have to be honest with people and say, look, there is only one way to find God, and that is through Jesus. That is through the shepherd, who is the door into the sheepfold. Yeah? So this is a powerful story, isn't it, that Jesus tells about I am the door. Thank you so much for your help, Raphael, and I'll have the stuff back, but you can keep the Maltesers. Thank you so much. You are brilliant. Okay. There we are. So, my friends, the shepherd protects us and provides the way in. Jesus is our protector, our savior. Jesus is the way in. Jesus is the door. Let's bless the name of Jesus as we sing, because the shepherd does indeed lead us into green pastures, and we bless his name. We bless his name in good times and bad. Jesus doesn't promise there that it'll always be green pastures, it'll always be good times, but what he does promise is that he will be with us and alongside us in all those situations.
Thank you. I'm glad you mentioned that. Yesterday, while I reflected on this song, you know that sometimes you listen to songs and then you just listen for the sake. But yesterday, actually, when I was listening to this song while I was walking through the park, I just literally thought the meaning behind it, being able to bless God through the bad and the good times. It's just that, because we've all been in that stage. I've been there in the real deep end. But the song just reminded me to be able to always remember that God is there when things are really, really difficult. And this church, we've had a few members who are really going through a really, really rough time. I hope that this song can really be able to enable someone to reflect and be able to bless God, even when the things are really, really difficult right now. Yeah. And just to send out the love, because we're all thinking about you, really.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful. In the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. And blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place. Though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name.
Blessed be the name.
So we see that Jesus is the door. But why do we need a door? God created us his children. Why is it we need a door to reach God, to know of his wonderful love for us, to praise him and to bless him and to live the way that he wants us to live? Well, sadly, right from the earliest times, men and women began to live in their own way, to turn their backs on God and not to live the way that he wanted. We've a word to describe that. It's a word that's not very popular because it hurts a bit. The word's called sin. We don't live the way that God wants us to do. And because God is holy, the result is that there's a separation between us and God, and we need a door which we can enter in. The door to his presence was shut because of our sin, and Jesus opened it by laying down his life for us, like a shepherd would for his sheep. Jesus came to be the door, and all who enter through him will be saved. He laid down his life for us. So, what do we do when we go in through that door? Well, to get into that door, first of all, we have to turn around. We have to stop living our way and start to live God's way. We have to start to say, Jesus, I recognize you as my Lord. I recognize you as in control of my life. Once upon a time, Abide With Me used to be the most popular thing sung at funerals. These days, it's Frank Sinatra's I Did It My Way. That's not what God wants. He doesn't want us to do it our way. He wants us to do it his way. He gives us guidance and shows us in the Bible how he wants us to live. So first we have to turn around, stop doing it our way, and do it God's way. And then we have to accept Jesus as Lord and enter through that door. And then Jesus will care for us and protect us. We had such a wonderful example, didn't we, at the beginning of our service when Raphael talked about how Jesus had protected him last night. Okay, he used the man from the garage, but none of us doubt that it was Jesus who was protecting and caring for Raphael last night. He looks after us. He looks after us so that we will have a wonderful life. The Bible says a life, an abundant life. We'll have so many good things, it'll be abundant. We'll have an eternal life as well. Our life will not end with death because Jesus has also opened the door to eternal life. Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for us. You can read about that in the rest of that chapter of John from 11 to 15, Jesus talks about being the good shepherd. He leads us into green pastures. I think we've got some green pastures that if you were a sheep, you'd really like to find. There we are. Didn't get lost in the long grass. Here is some green grass that you would really fancy if you were a sheep, wouldn't you? But Jesus is the door to good grass. Now, I need 4 volunteers this time. The task is a lot less arduous than the previous task. You've just got to hold some cards up. So if you've got arms and you can stand, then you can volunteer for this. This is fantastic. Now you can be number one. Don't turn it around till I tell you. Yep. So it's going to be a big surprise, everyone. Yeah, yeah. Who wants to be number two? Who wants to be number three? Number four. Right. Okay. Right. Now, if you line up at the front so everyone can see you, we've got four things on the cards. And also, I should say to our wonderful AV operator that they're also on the PowerPoint. So when they come up on the cards, you better see them on the screen if we're all coordinated. The first one is, I am loved by God. That's in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Feed on the good grass of being loved by God. I am loved by God. The Bible tells us that. Second piece of green grass is that God is good. And that comes from Psalm 136 and verse 1, which reads, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Our Heavenly Father is good. Sometimes, as we've just discussed, and thank you for your words before the song, life can be hard, it can be tough. Certainly, in the last couple of years, it's not been easy, has it? Some of us have lost relatives and friends in very difficult situations. And it's not been easy. We haven't been able to see each other. We haven't been able to hug each other. I'm a hugger, and that's been a big loss. You might feel relieved, there have been some tough times. But God has been with us during those tough times, as well as we can trust him, and we know that he is good at all times. Let's feed on the green grass of his goodness. And now the third one is, I belong to God's family. That you'll find in John chapter 1 and verse 12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You've got the right to call yourself children of God. You're part of God's family because Jesus is the door. He's the door into God's family. It's great, isn't it? Being adopted by God in this way because Jesus is the door. We are part of God's family. Feed on the green grass of belonging to God's family. And then the fourth one. I have peace with God. That also comes from Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, the second part of verse 1 there. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the door, and he's the door to peace. Peace in our lives, peace with God. We're not at war with God anymore. We're at peace with God. You know, there were lots of people around when Paul wrote that letter to the Romans, Greek people and indeed Roman people, who believed that the gods were at war with ordinary mortals. If you read some of their stories, they're all stories about war and gods attacking people and doing nasty things to people. And Jesus comes along and says, no, it's not like that. God doesn't want to be at war with you. God wants to be at peace with you, and I am the door to that. So Paul says, because of Jesus, you can have peace with God. Not like all those people around you who are at war with God. You can be at peace with God. Great green grass for you to feed on. Well, thank you very much indeed for my great helpers there. Super. I'll take those back in unless you want to put them on your walls. Thank you. Super. And we could find much more green grass as we go through the Bible. If I'd known there'd been so many volunteers, I could have had lots more cards of things in the Bible that are promises of God because Jesus is the door. Through him, we enter salvation. Through him, we enter eternal life. Through him, we enter the green pastures of that abundant life that Jesus promises. Well, one of the things that we can do because Jesus is the door is we can bring him our prayers for other people. It's amazing, isn't it, to think about it. If we were just praying ourselves, if we're just praying on the authority of ourselves, it wouldn't be very powerful, would it? But Jesus says you can pray in my name. You can use my name. We can use the name of the Son of God to pray to God. Isn't that powerful? Let's do that then and pray for others using the name of Jesus. Jesus, you are the door. Through you we are saved. We are rescued from sin. We are blessed through you as the door. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. And thank you for this opportunity to come before you now with our prayers for others, which we ask in your name. Lord, we especially want to remember the Baptist Missionary Society, a BMS World Mission, Day of Prayer today. We want to pray for those people who have left comfortable situations in this country and traveled, in some cases, a long way to different cultures and different places to witness for you, to serve you in those different situations. Lord, we pray for all those in mission service, Lord, that you'll bless them, that you'll use them, that you will indeed protect them as the shepherd overlooking their lives, and that you will indeed use them to teach people that you are the door, you are the way into heaven, that there is no other way, there is no other entry into the Father's love. Lord, we just pray for those missionary workers that we know. Lord, we especially pray here for Peter and Louise Lynch. Lord, we know that at the moment they're on home assignment, and we pray that you'll bless them on that, they won't be too tired with all the traveling they've got to do and all the appointments they have got to meet. And you'll bless and use them as they witness to the churches at this time. But Lord, we pray for the work they're involved in Bangladesh, that there'll be others who will be able to do the things that they would normally do while they're away, and that they will return safely, and there'll be no visa problems or anything like that, Lord, and that the COVID restrictions won't hinder them as they return to work in Bangladesh and work alongside Baptist church leaders in that land. Lord, we pray that you will bless them and use them and all the people who work for BMS World Mission, whether it be in Didcot or overseas, that you will use them and bless them greatly. Lord, we want to pray today especially for our Queen, thanking you for the example that she has set this country over 70 years of service and of loyal duty. Lord, uphold her and sustain her, particularly at this time when she has experienced so many family difficulties and losses. Lord, we pray for this remarkable woman. We thank you that she has been so open about her faith and her trust in you. We pray that as a nation, we may understand the ways in which you have supported and used her. Lord, we pray that this year of celebration might be a year of opportunity for our nation to come together, opportunity for our nation to be reminded of its historic faith in you and in the Lord Jesus. We pray that there will be a movement of the Spirit in this land that celebrates the Platinum Jubilee, but also celebrates your place in this nation, Lord. Lord, we would pray at this time for our minister, Colin, and for Chris, as they console their family and are with them at this time, Lord. Surely many people looking to them for leadership and for prayer and support at this time. Lord, strengthen them and use them in that situation, we pray. And Lord, strengthen him as he returns to service in this church, that he may be used by you for the building of your kingdom in this place. Lord, we pray too for Tony and Anne, that you'll bless them and you'll pass your healing hand over them. That we pray too for Pauline's son Ian at this time. Lord, be with the whole family, but especially with Ian, that he may know the closeness of your presence, supporting and sustaining him at this time. Lord, we pray for those that we know that are in special need at this time, for those who are sick, that they may be healed, for those who are lonely, that they may know your presence, for those who are sad, that they may know your joy in their hearts. Lord, we pray for those who've yet to know that you are the door, yet to realize that there is a way to be part of the family, a way to be loved by you, a way to be at peace with you. Lord, we pray for those who've yet to discover that Jesus is the door, that they will turn around and find that door and go through it. We ask these prayers in your precious name. Amen. Well, we're going to close with a well-known hymn that means a lot to those of us who have gone through that door some time ago and have experienced the faithfulness of God in times of trouble, times of need, and times of joy. Great is thy faithfulness.
Stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. It is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guard. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see.
Jesus, you are the door. May the love of the Lord Jesus draw you to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill your hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.